Blog Talk Radio.
I'm barely able to hear you, Mike.
Mike, I cannot hear you. I can't hear you, Mike. We're getting a lot of dead space here. Well, today, the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy, Novena, ninth day, and Jesus said, today, bring to me souls who have become lukewarm and immerse them in the abyss of my mercy. These souls wound my heart most painfully.
It all.
Hey, that's better.
Well, that's also the phone itself.
Okay.
You want me to do it this way?
Yes, because I can hear you.
Okay. Today, bring me souls who have become lukewarm and immerse them in the abyss of my mercy. These souls wound my heart most painfully. My soul suffered the most dreaded loathing in the Garden of Olives because of lukewarm souls. They were the reason I cried out, Father, take this cup away from me if it be your will. For them, the last hope of salvation is to run to my mercy. Most compassionate Jesus, you are compassion itself. I bring lukewarm souls to the abode of your most compassionate heart. In this fire of your pure love, let these tepid souls who like corpses filled you with such deep loathing be once again set aflame. O most compassionate Jesus, exercise the omnipotence of your mercy and draw them into the very ardor of your love and bestow upon them the gift of holy love, for nothing is beyond your power. Eternal Father, turn your most merciful gaze upon the lukewarm souls who are nonetheless enfolded in the most compassionate heart of Jesus. Father of mercy, I beg you by the bitter passion of your Son and by his three-hour agony on the cross, let them, too, glorify the abyss of your mercy. Amen. O most compassionate Jesus, exercise the omnipotence of your mercy and draw them into the very ardor of your love and bestow upon them the gift of holy love, for nothing is beyond your power. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair, nor become despondent, but with a great confidence, submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Thus, the novena to the Holy Spirit is a once act of repentance and purgation in preparation for the solemn feast of Pentecost, as well as an act of petition for a new outpouring of the Spirit in our hearts and lives. Day 5, St. Catherine of Siena. Let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, your glory is in your saints. We praise your glory in the life of the ethical St. Catherine of Siena, Virgin and Doctor of the Church. Her whole life was a noble sacrifice inspired by an ardent love of Jesus, your unblemished Lamb. In troubled times, she strenuously upheld the rights of his beloved spouse, the Church. Father, honor her merits and hear her prayers for each of us. Help us to pass unscathed through the corruption of this world. Help us always to see the Vicar of Christ as an anchor in the storms of life and as a beacon of light to the harbor of your love in the dark night of your times and men's souls. Grant also to each of us our special petition. We ask this through Jesus, your Son, and the bond of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray for America, for our Constitution, for those suffering addictions and those in bondage. We need, for those who need deliverance, We pray for the Catholic Church, for Pope Francis, and all the clergy. St. Catherine of Siena, pray for us. Monday is the third week of Easter. Reading number one, I believe we have a musical interlude. And then we'll get to Acts 6, verses 8 to 15.
Troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more. Troublesome waters around me do roll, they're rocking my boat and wrecking my soul. Loved ones are drifting and living in sin, the treacherous whirlpools are pulling them in. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat in safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome water, I'm fearing no more. When troublesome waters are rolling so high, I'll lift up my voice and to heaven I'll cry. My Lord, I am trusting, give guidance to me and steady my boat on life's troubled sea. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat in safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
The unmistakable sound of Johnny Cash. And now Acts 6, 8 verses 8 through 15. Stephen, filled with grace and power, was working great wonders and signs among the people. Certain members of the so-called synagogue of freedmen, Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and people from Sicilia and Asia came forward and debated with Stephen. But they could not understand to withstand the wisdom of the Spirit with which he spoke. And they instigated some men to say, we have heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God. They stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, accosted him, seized him, and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They presented false witnesses who testified, this man never stopped saying things against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him claim that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs that Moses handed down to us. All those who sat in the Sanhedrin looked intently at him and saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Responsorial Psalm, blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. Though princes and meet and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Yes, your decrees are my delight, they are my counselors. Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. I declare my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on the wondrous deed. Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. Remove from me the way of falsehood and favor me with your law. Thy word of truth have I chosen. I have set your ordinances before me. Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. Matthew 4:4. One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. The gospel is John 6:22-29. After Jesus had fed the 5,000 men, his disciples saw him walking on the sea. The next day, the crowd that remained across the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not gone along with his disciples in the boat, but only his disciples had left. Other boats came from Tiberias to the place where they had eaten the bread, where the Lord gave thanks. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered and said, Amen, amen, I say to you, you were looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father God has set his seal. So they said to him, What can we do to accomplish the works of God? Jesus answered and said to him, This is the word of God, that you believe in the one he has sent. Our saint of the day is Saint Fidelis of Smyrgin. Time now for our saint of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting Hartley's Heroes. Here's Donald Hartley with his Hartley's Hero for today.
Mark Roy was born in the small town of Schmittau in modern-day Germany. His father was a wealthy businessman who later became the town's mayor, and his mother was a Protestant who converted to Catholicism when she married Mark's father. Mark had three older siblings and one younger. His loving parents saw to it that as a youth he was well-educated in the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith, as well as an etiquette, self-discipline, and a reverence for God. He was a Capuchin father, friar, who was involved in the Catholic Counter-Reformation and was martyred by his opponents at Siwas in Predigau, now part of Switzerland. Fidelis was canonized in 1746. If a poor man needed some clothing, Fidelis would often give the man the clothes right off his back. Complete generosity to others characterized this saint's life. Born in 1577, Mark Ray became a lawyer and constantly upheld the causes of the poor and oppressed people. Nicknamed the poor man's lawyer, Ray soon grew disgusted with the corruption and injustice he saw among his colleagues. He left his law career to become a priest, joining his brother George as a member of the Capuchin Order. Fidelis was his religious name. His wealth was divided between needy seminarians and the poor. As a follower of St. Francis of Assisi, Fidelis continued his devotion to the weak and needy. During a severe epidemic in a city where he was a guardian of a friary, Fidelis cared for and cured many sick soldiers. He was appointed head of a group of Capuchins sent to preach against the Calvinists and Zwinglians in Switzerland. Almost certain violence threatened. Those who observed the mission felt the success was more attributable to the prayer of Fidelis during the night than to his sermons and instructions. He was accused of opposing the peasants' national aspirations for independence from Austria. While he was preaching at Siwitz, to which he had gone against the advice of his friends, a gun was fired at him, but he escaped unharmed. A Protestant offered to shelter Fidelis, but he declined, saying his life was in God's hands. On the road back, he was set upon by a group of armed men and killed. The year 1618 marks the beginning of what came to be one of the longest and deadliest wars in all of Europe, the Thirty Years' War. The war primarily resulted in the ongoing tensions of the Protestant Reformation and the Catholic Counter-Reformation. During the period, Father Fidelis continued his life of deep prayer and penance and preached with zeal, winning many back to the Catholic faith. He also shared the gospel by writing pamphlets on the faith that were secretly delivered to those who had abandoned the church for Protestantism. In 1621, Fidelis was sent to modern-day Austria, where he continued to preach with great success. He won many people back to the Catholic faith, including nobility and rulers. When an epidemic broke out, he helped care for the sick, especially soldiers, and his compassion, genuine care, and sanctity did not go unnoticed. Among those who noticed him were many of the Calvinists who were outraged at his success of winning others back to the Catholic Church. The winter of 1621-22 was a busy period of preaching, instruction, and theological disputation for the Franciscan priest. He preached not only in the pulpits of Catholic churches, but also in public places, and even in the meeting places of Calvinists themselves. Some Swiss Protestants responded with hostility, but many others were also brought back to the church. During 1614, a Swiss Catholic bishop had sought help from the Capuchins to restore the faith and counteract the spread of Calvinist Protestantism. In 1621, Fidelis was sent on the mission. He brought just four items, a Bible, a prayer book, a crucifix, and a copy of the Capuchin Rule. On April 24th, Father Fidelis was preaching in a Swiss church when an angry mob arrived. A shot was fired but missed him, and he quickly departed from the church. As he journeyed to the next village where he was staying, the mob, which included a Zwinglian minister, caught up with him and demanded that he renounce the Catholic faith and embrace the teachings of Zwingli. To them he responded, "I am sent to you to confute, not to embrace your heresy. The Catholic religion is the faith of all ages. I fear not death." With that, Father Fidelis was struck to the ground on the head with a sword. He then knelt and prayed, "Pardon my enemies, O Lord. Blinded by passion, they know not what they do. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Mary, Mother of God, assist me." After that, he received many more blows. He was stabbed repeatedly, and one of his legs was dismembered from his body in retaliation against him for the many missionary journeys he had made throughout their land. Father Fidelis was only 45, 10 of those years being a religious. About the volatile situation boiled over on April 24, 1622, when Fidelis was preaching, provoked a riot at a church in the village of Siwitz. Some Australian soldiers were killed in the uproar, and a would-be assassin shot at the priest. Catholic faith, how stable, how firm you are, how well-rooted, how well-founded on a strong rock. Heaven and earth will pass away, but you can never perish. From the beginning of the whole world has spoken against you, but you have triumphed mightily over all. For this is the victory which overcomes the world, our faith, and is what has brought the most powerful kings under Christ's rule and made peoples the servants of the Christ, from St. Fidelis' final sermon. Fidelis was canonized in 1746. 15 years later, he was recognized as a martyr. St. Fidelis was beaten and stabbed to death at sight of his martyrdom. However, he is said to have converted one of the Protestant preachers who led the mob. A succession of attested miracles led to his canonization in 1746. Fidelis' constant prayer was that he be kept continually faithful to God and not give in to any lukewarmness or apathy. He was often heard to exclaim, "Woe to me if I should prove myself but a half-hearted soldier in the service of my thorn-crowned captain." He prayed against apathy, and his concern for the poor and weak made him a saint, whose example is valuable today. The modern church is calling us on us to follow the example of the poor man's lawyer by sharing ourselves and our talents with those less fortunate and by working for justice in the world. Fidelis, in Sigmaringen, Germany, where many people visit each year to venerate him, Fidelis is also honored as the patron saint of lawyers because of his profession before joining the Capuchin order. See 1577 to 1622, patron saint of lawyers in the Congregation for the Evangelism of Peoples, canonized by Pope Benedict XIV in 1746. Over the next century, as many as 305 miracles were attributed to his intercession by those who prayed at his tomb. St. Fidelis, though you discovered your religious vocation later in life, what you lost in time you made up for in zeal and love of neighbor. You did not fear for your own life, but only feared not doing enough for the salvation of souls. Pray for me that I may imitate your courage and in determination to do all I can to build up Christ's church. St. Fidelis, pray for me. Jesus, I trust in you. And that is our saints for the day, or saint of the day.
Presenting from Deeper Truth, the saint of the day. They say that every dog has its day. Well, so does every saint. And when the saints go marching in, Donald Hartley, the Catholic defender, knows exactly who's going to be in that number. And he'll share them with you every day. That's the saint of the day for inspiring true stories of your everyday saint. Don't worry, they won't bite.
No, they certainly won't. They'll bless, they won't bite.
Well, Mike, I think you did a lot better with your phone till you get your patch fixed.
Okay. Well, we can use this as a backup. At least we know it works.
Yes, it works really. I think it works. It's definitely doable. It's just in the beginning of today's show, I think we got a lot of dead space. That's the only concern there.
Can you edit? Can you edit that out?
I don't know. I wish I could.
Okay. Because some programs give you the ability to edit the final draft.
I think you have to have a special machine, special something, the equipment to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll listen
now, tomorrow I'm not going to be available in the morning because I've got that meeting.
Okay.
I'm not sure. We may have to do something in the afternoon.
Well, maybe we might let me work on that. So I'll call you.
Okay. All sounds right. Good.
I will end this with this song.
Out of nothing in my image and likeness, delighting you before you, there was nothing quite like this. Crown and glory of creation as the light hits, fearfully and wonderfully made to be righteous. Before the world attacks me, there's something you should know first. It kills me when we're separate and you don't know your own worth. You're indispensable, unforgettable, unbelievably magnificent. My love for you is infinite, created you to love with the fire of a self-gift. When you made it into taking, you fell quick. Heart turns to ice, turned to me and I can melt it. There's no amount of sin and darkness that I haven't dealt with. Nothing can separate you from the love into me. I have a plan for your life that I want you to see. This doesn't change no matter how one is conceived. Whether they want you or not, you're wanted by me.
strength and endurance to conquer the rough road.
God has a plan.
You're doing it all comes from me, so there's no need to prove it. You're beautiful. Let me show you how this shoe fits. Reveal you to yourself, so in fullness the truth hits. My plan for you is for joy and for greatness, to take you from the light of sin and bring you to the sacred, confidently bred and sanctifying graces. The graces that's so amazing you can taste it. I'm your rock stronghold, your firm foundation, always here for you in love and in patience. I'll restore your soul every time the world takes it. Know that I'm with you till the end of the ages. I supply the light in the darkness where man is blind, and the peace and happiness the world can't provide. My son bridged the gap between man and divine. Now you're my sons and daughters and in my expanded line.
God has a plan.
You too.
Thank you. All right. We'll see you a little bit later. Okay, God bless.